You know, it gives me the same feeling as I had that day that it happened. I'll sit in the chair downstairs and listen to it. The back of my neck gets right hot and cold and everything else, and I have tears in my eyes, and I'm not a bit afraid to say it.
Lyman Dempsey, the ore train, the mini ore train, has a runaway train on the Nifty Sub.
I've only listened to it twice. I don't want to hear the tape. It plays with your mind.
He's got about 50 cars on there, 40 or 50 cars, and he's doing about 50 or 60 miles an hour heading for Nepessiquit. So you fellas better get the hell out of the way.
When I heard it, I realized, you know, what this guy must have been going through, being on that train for 20 minutes and being pretty positive that he was going to die.
Now doing 70 miles an hour, so you better stand back.
This was hair-raising. This was a big event.
Oh, get the hell away on our way!
My name is Connie Doucette, and I am Wes McDonald's younger daughter. He was a railroad man right through and through. I mean, he always wore his railroad cap everywhere he went, and so you would know that he was. I mean, we had pictures of trains and clocks of trains. He was very much the railroad man.
My name is Laurie Sturgeon. Wesley McDonald and I, we've been partners off and on the job since 1969, so Wesley was quite a bit older than I was, so he was kind of like a father image to me. We not only worked together, we fished together, we traveled together. We were friends. That day on March the 9th, we went to Brunswick Iron Ore Company to pick up 33 cars to take to Beldoon Fertilizer and Smelter. So that morning we went in, we did our usual thing, we set off the caboose, we start making up the train. While we had about 10 cars on the caboose, we hauled back with another 30 cars, and there was a little grade. When Wesley hauled back, he went down a little hill and he couldn't get the train stopped.
Well, my name is Alf Bureau. I was a train dispatcher with the Canadian National Railroad. It's now known as rail traffic controllers since I retired. I had just got to work at 8 o'clock, and about 8:15 I got a call on my radio from the conductor, Laurie Sturgeon, who was back at the mines, and he said that they may have a May Day situation on their hands. He said Wesley grabbed a bunch of cars and he can't hold them.
Yes, go ahead, forward.
And all of a sudden, the driver breaks in. He said, I'm going by Brunswick Mines, and I'm doing 52 miles an hour. She's gone. I have no control. I have no brakes whatsoever to hold this train. She's gone on me. She ran away.
No, I'm going by Brunswick Mills, and you're going 55 miles an hour, 55 at Brunswick Mills. She's gone. And there's no way you can put that train in emergency, apparently, Wesley, over. There's no air on her, helping. I see. All right, just stand by a minute.
He was doing about 50 miles an hour. I said, Wesley, I think it's about time you bailed the hell off of that thing, isn't it? Oh, he said, Alf, he said, I can't do it, he said.
I'm going 65 miles an hour right now, 65. I think it's about time you left that thing, isn't it, Lefty, you kidding? Oh, I'd be off a long go. Yeah?
His chances of surviving a jump, I think, was a lot greater than staying in those all darn engines and going over on their sides and him buried in it.
65 miles an hour right now.
We
His nickname was Wiener. And I said, stick with her, Wiener. Don't jump. Even at 20 or 25 miles per hour in the train that was there, he was just jumping to his death. He had a better chance to stay in the cab of the engine.
Stay with her, Wiener. Stay with her. Oh, right. I don't know. Stay with her.
There's embankments, there's just trees, the train is all different along there. There's telephone poles, he could have jumped and hit a pole. He could have jumped and hit a culvert in a ditch.
70 miles an hour, 70. Now doing 70 miles an hour, so you better stand back. Wesley, is there no way that you can clear get off of that train? For the love of heavens, over.
I can't get off her.
Well, I think you better bail off into a snowbank if you can do it at all.
Yeah, I can't, boy.
I don't know where.
You better get someone to take me brain of my survivor.
That track, the speed limit was 25 miles per hour. Wesley was doing 70 miles per hour. Our main concern at that time was, of course, Wesley's life, but the track crisscrossed through about four different crossings, and there were school buses that morning, and it was hair-raising.
At his speed, the crossing protection signals would work so slowly, they'd be activated, maybe 15 or 20 seconds before he hit the crossing, and the bus driver would have no warning. And to give you an idea how cool this man was, if you listen to his tape, he's sounding the engine whistle, a proper signal for the approach of every crossing.
Wesley, are you alone in that engine?
Oh, boy, I don't know. I got around one corner.
Wesley,
you're
going to have to get out of here.
He went by a house there and just rumbling down that line at 70-some miles an hour, and one of the ladies in the house heard him going by, and she saw that train every morning, and she said, there's something wrong with that man. He must have gone crazy. But little did she know that he had a runaway train.
Wesley, just told you, you'd never make the west or the east leg of the Y, would you? Over.
I contacted Palmer Dempsey. He was a section foreman. Of course, he's a little ways away from the location. I thought maybe if he could get up there and turn one of those switches, he might get out the main line without being derailed.
Palmer Dempsey, can you open one of those switches at the deficit so he can get out of the main line if he can make it, and whatever one you think is the best, over?
No, we never make it to Thatcher. We're about 2 miles from there now.
Get the hell away out of the way. Well, get the hell out of the way then, Palmer.
And then, of course, Westy butted in, and Westy said, Alfie said, she'll never make it. She'll never make it. She's going to go off of the track.
Hey, Palmer, he hasn't got time to get to switch there, Westy, over.
No, where else? But you never make it anyway. She's going to go off at the line. Stay with her, Wes.
It wasn't easy, sitting there on your fanny, and you got control of trains, but when it comes to stopping and starting, you haven't got control of them.
You better warn people around there that we've got a runaway train coming off the Nippy Sub, and I don't know how far he's going to go if he does get off the sub without being derailed. And I think you better alert a doctor and an ambulance.
Okay, I'll do that.
Straight away.
Chances, the law of average, I knew what was going to happen. And I had a pretty good idea that I had talked to him for the last time. And had never met the man. And it was pretty emotional. Yeah.
Are you on here, Wesley? Is that you, Laurie?
Yeah, I'm here in the van at the mines.
You're in the van at the mines, I see. No, he hasn't called in.
He's gone.
That long period where there was no communication, we figured that the accident happened, and Wesley was dead because there was no contact.
My name is Palmer Dempsey, and I was the track maintenance foreman. We headed right from the point where the train left the track. There was a big snowbank there, and the engine slid up over that snowbank and away over in the field there. The two engines were on its side, so I immediately got out of the truck, and we headed right for the engine. And we could hear Wesley hollering.
The cab filled up with snow. The seat broke off and hit him in the head. When he did come to, he couldn't break the glass. So Palmer Dempsey and Neil Gowden, they took what they call a track hammer, and they broke the window and got him out.
Once I got the door open, Dave, well, Wes was there. He wasn't hurt at all. He was a little bit white, but other than that, he was in very good shape.
I was sitting there waiting to hear from somebody, and all of a sudden I heard this voice. I said, "Is that you? That you, Neil? Neil Gowden?" Neil said, "Alfie," he said, "I think there's somebody walking up the track you'd like to talk to." Well, I said, "I guess so."
"Seeing the faster Roadmaster Gowden here, I think there's somebody you'd like to speak to here." "Well, Alfie, how's it going, Wesley?"
He said, "I'm still here." He said, I don't think the old fellow was ready for me yet.
"Well, here in a way, the old fellow was ready for me, I guess." "No, I guess not, but it's up to us. Somebody like to talk to you, I must say." "Why, it's a lot. Holy old jeepers, I'm telling you. Well, you've done a wonderful job, I must say, boy. Stick with her. She's a hell of a mess there, though, Wesley, eh?"
"I thought she's just, well, she's all piled up. I don't know how the hell I got out of her myself."
He never was the same after the accident. When a person would have a car accident, it's a split second, everything is over. But he was there for 20 minutes, and all these thoughts were going through his head. He thought about mom and his family and you know, what would happen. And I still get emotional about it. He still had a few good years left in him. He ended up dying of lung cancer 6 years after the accident had taken place.
Two days later, I was at work, and about around 10 o'clock in the morning, I was sitting in my office there working. We worked alone in an office. So I heard this gentleman come in the door, and he said, "Hello, Alfie." And I looked around, and I knew it was Wesley McDonald. And that's the first time we had met. And he was standing there with his wife, and I must say there was tears shed. And I said to Wesley, I said, "You know, Wesley," I said, "I'm not the most religious man, but you're the first man that ever made me pray, laugh, and cry in one day. Because when I came home from work at 4 o'clock, I came in the back door and met my wife, and I started to cry like a baby. And I couldn't control myself. And my wife thought I had got fired. I said, no, I didn't get fired, but I told her the story after I calmed down. Quite a day.
Runaway Train was produced by Russell Finch. It was a Something Else production for BBC Radio 4.